Yes, hello everyone. This is Elon Musk. Let me just introduce myself shortly before I start. I've been playing Eve only since January. I'm a spreadsheet and numbers fan. I have a spreadsheet approach to stuff like this. Otherwise, my attitude to Eve is, just the YOLO. I do stuff, which typically is some crazy shit, and then I learn from that. I started my career. I started my career hauling stuff from Jita to Barlygut first when we were there, later to Sendaya and VTech3, using ships like Nereus's and Atrons because I couldn't fly anything else. Let me just post the link in Fleet Chat and you'll understand what I mean. There, so that's YOLO. I made about 50 billion the first 4 months, and then I read a blog about capital construction. I'd never built anything in my entire Eve life except 100 rounds of antimatter that you are supposed to do in the tutorial mission. And I had no idea what I was doing. But now I have 100 billion ISK set up, and I churn out capitals for Hero. And pretty soon I'll have the complete setup that I want, and by then I will try drop my margins super low because I don't need ISK for anything else. This was what I wanted ISK for, so I hope I'll really be able to supply super low cost capitals for Hero. So that's sort of me. Just very shortly about this class. I'll start with presenting the basics of how to build a capital ship. And that is really simple. Then I'll talk about how to build a capital chip cheaper than you can buy it from people like me. And that is not that simple. I'm going to cover quite a lot of ground. A recording will be made by Q, and I hope it will be available to everyone. So you can go back to anything that went too quickly. And as Q said, we'll have Q&A at the end. And if there is time, I can also say something about supercap construction. But note that I've never built a supercap. I only have read how to do it. So maybe that's not the most interesting part of the class. We'll see. So how to build an Archon. You want to build an Archon. You want your own ship that you've built for yourself. Well, you're going to need one skill. There, that's capital ship construction. You need that to three. There are some intermediate skills you need to get there, but it's a couple of weeks training and you have it. So then also good to have is mass production and advanced mass production. Those skills let you build on more than one slot at a time. Otherwise, it's going to take some time, but you can't do without them. So that's all you need from the skill side. And then you need to buy a one-run blueprint package. When I checked in Jita, that was 55 million ISK. Then you have the blueprints that you will just consume and not be left with to build the Archon. You simply just move the minerals you need to produce the blueprints to the production system. Then you use component blueprints to build components. And finally, you use the hull blueprint to assemble the components into an Archon. And that's it. You have your Archon. It's going to cost you probably just about the market price, so you'll not save any money. But you built it yourself and you'll feel good about it. So that's how you build an Archon. Simple. But of course, if you wanted to build capital ships for something else than just the feel-good factor, you need something more. Capital construction margins are currently about at best 200 million ISK per hull, and that then you have to have a pretty close to perfect setup. So it's not huge margins. You make if you don't sell cheaply to your alliance, you make about 20% over minerals selling to the market for carriers, and about 10% for dreadnoughts. So you have to have big volumes to make it worthwhile. And as I said, you need a very good setup. So the reasons why it's much more expensive when you build the one-off is, first of all, you're paying for the blueprints and you consume them each time. So this is like renting rather than owning. So that's one reason, BPC costs. Then you also have production inefficiencies, which I will speak more about. And finally, and quite importantly, is transportation costs. When you build caps, it's millions and millions of cubic meters of stuff, of minerals and components, and moving those around is quite expensive. So the rest of the class is going to be spent on how to approach a perfect setup for capital construction. So the first point on that list is owning blueprint originals. If you have a blueprint original, you never buy a blueprint copy. You can just build and build and build, and you'll never spend anything on blueprints. So if you, like me, want to build all carriers, all dreadnoughts, and Rorquals, you'll need 9 hull BPOs and 17 to 20 component BPOs. You can buy these unresearched from NPCs, but to research them to perfect material efficiency is very expensive. Actually, at the present, after Cryos update, it is cheaper to buy fully researched BPOs than to research them yourself. And if you want to research them yourself, it also takes a while. For the hulls, it takes about a year or a bit more than a year to go from zero to perfect material efficiency. And then you'll want to add some time efficiency research as well. So unless you have very little ISK and very good time, it doesn't make much sense to research your own BPOs at the moment. So you will want to buy BPOs. Perfect hull BPOs, by which I mean perfect for material, not necessarily time, are about 5 billion ISK apiece. And I'm expecting them to rise just because of what I said. Right now it's not worth it to research them, so people won't be researching them, and over time they'll likely lead to rising costs. So if you want 9 of those, that's 45 billion ISK just for the hull BPOs. But then, of course, that's putting the bar quite high to have perfect BPOs for all hulls. I have perfect BPOs for the 5 or 6 most popular hulls, and then material efficiency 9 BPOs for the rest. Perfect component BPOs are typically around 1.8 billion. And as I said, you need 17 to 20 of those. So that's quite a big cost as well. But you can also combine. I mean, if you're sort of have a mid-range setup, you can buy BPCs from JITA for some of the less consumed components and maybe also some of the hulls. For instance, I can't remember I ever built a Revelation. So you might economize a little bit here. And then also a pro tip is that if you want to research, you can actually get super cheap research from some stations in Catch. ERVK right now is about 10% of the price of the more popular research stations. It doesn't have the time bonus, so I just put one BPO on research from ME9 to ME10 there, and that takes 210 days, so you have to be patient. But that's the possibility. That didn't cost much. It cost about 40 million, I think. Sorry?
Just
Okay,
continue.
anyways. Yeah, sure. So I guess the reason why ERVK is not so popular is that you can't be sure that we'll have solved there later. So that's another YOLO thing. I'm just hoping I can, I put a jump clone there, so I'm hoping I can evacuate the BPO in the worst case. So, but it's much cheaper. I mean, it costs about 400 million or no, sorry, 700 million to install it in the research station that I usually use, and I'm not going to pay 700 million to wait half a year for ME10. So, but for like 40 million, that's more like it. Okay, so that was the owning the blueprints part. Then even more interesting and maybe less understood is the part about the perfect manufacturing. Actually, right now there's no such thing as perfect manufacturing due to the existence of teams which came in Cryos. I'll come back to those, but except for teams, we can look at perfect manufacturing. So for that, you need, first of all, the perfect material efficiency blueprints that I talked about. Second, you need to be building more than one hull per run. And this is not, I think, very well understood generally. And third of all, you need to have a station material efficiency bonus. Here in our NullSec manufacturing stations, we get 3%, which is, I think, maximum. If it's not, then please correct me, someone. Regarding the building more than one hull per round, with a good material efficiency, both from the station BPO and the character, you can build at least seven hulls in one production run. It will basically allow you to install as many runs as you can do, as you can start within 1 month, and you can actually start the seventh month run in the 1 month. The saving from additional hulls goes down, and actually, in some cases, adding one hull reduces the efficiency. It sounds kind of weird, but it's just the way the math works out. With basically, the reason why the number of hulls per run matter is that you always have fractional components consumed. So let's say you have one run requires 2.4 of a certain component, then two runs consumes 4.8, but three runs will then consume 7.2, and these numbers are always rounded up. So sometimes an extra hull will need three more of that component, and other times it will need two more of that component. So my experience from doing the math on all the hulls is that as a rule of thumb, you should build three hulls at a time. That seems to be the sweet spot between waiting forever for your hulls to come out and having a really efficient production. Note that you cannot do this with BPCs. So if you're starting up, you don't have the BPOs, you have to build one on one ship. I've tried to copy my BPOs to give more than one run on the BPCs, but it's not possible. You cannot do that. Then there's another aspect to this, and you want to maximize the utilization of each of your BPOs. This means that for the component BPOs, you want to be copying them all the time. I have six alts that are doing my manufacturing and science, and four of them can copy BPOs perfectly. So they are constantly copying all the BPOs so that they're churning out 40 run copies for each component, and then I'm using the components for construction. The copying goes is a little faster than the construction, which means that I'm actually each BPO gets a higher potential number of components built per year, but also having the BPCs, 40 run BPCs, it gives a lot of flexibility, because when I suddenly find out I've run out of say, drone bays, I, rather than just putting my two drone bay BPOs into production, I can put like 10 drone bay BPCs into production and have much more drone bays in a short time. So build from copies for the components, not from the BPOs themselves. And you can have implants for the copying, which would be this one, including my push to talk button, by the way. You can also have an implant to speed up manufacturing. That is this one. And then there are also implants to speed up the research if you want to research for material and time efficiency. That's these ones. So the implants only save time. So they enable you to do stuff faster. So what we would really like is an implant that would save the materials, but unfortunately it doesn't do that. So therefore the implants are nice, especially the copying one. I think it's good to have because it enables you to make more of your BPOs, but they're not strictly necessary. Yeah, there's a good comment in Fleet Chat. You should pay attention to the slots used because you can't have all these implants on the same character. All right, so that's the second point of the 3 points to optimal production, which was perfect manufacturing. Then the third point that I mentioned was transportation and... Yeah, okay, there's a question in Fleet Chat. Can I use the implant when I create the job and clone jump afterwards? Yes. This in more generally, we can say about science and industry jobs that everything is determined when you start the job. Once it's launched, it completes in the same way no matter what you do afterwards, except if you cancel it. So so the everything about the job is determined at the start. So yes, you can have the implant when you create the job and then jump into another clone. So I was going to start on the third section, which was about transportation and procurement. So my first attempts were to buy minerals in Catch, and now I've just completely left that idea. Catch is too small a market to have a big volume production fed by it, but also transporting minerals within Catch is just as expensive as importing them from low sec or high sec, or just about. It's not a big difference, so there is not a big upside to buying in Catch. I have had some discussions with come again. Okay, I've had some discussions with the miners in Catch, but I've not been able to secure any long-term supply contracts either. So I've sort of skipped that. If you can do that, more power to you. Then I'd like to mention that there is some limited benefit to combining mining and manufacturing. I mean, some people just say, you mine your own minerals, you make more money. But that's sort of, of course, if you mine, you make money. But is it better to mine and then manufacture from the minerals than to mine and sell? And there is a small difference. The mining will become a few percent more profitable if you also use the minerals, because you're not transporting them to trade hubs. You're not paying taxes on the transaction, and then the bid-ask spread, the bid price is lower than the sell price and so forth. So yes, you can make a few percentage extra by mining your own minerals, but it's not like that is the key to efficient production. Then if you're procuring the minerals, you have two real alternatives. One is to buy the minerals in the quantities you need from any of the high-sec trade hubs. And the other is to buy compressed ore from JITA. And I'm saying from Jira because there is only sort of a market for compressed OR, and that exists in Jira. And in the other trade hubs, at least in Amar, which I'm familiar with, it just doesn't work. You can't buy any reasonable quantities at reasonable prices anywhere else in Jira, as far as I know. A lot of people make their own agreements with miners. Again, I haven't done that. Maybe that's a good idea. But I buy my compressed ore in Jira. And still the market is not very liquid. You have to wait for your minerals. You have to update your prices a lot. I never buy from sell orders except if they are very low priced. I always post my own buy orders, and then I have to babysit them for days and days to get them filled. But that's how it works right now. So the advantages of buying compressed ore is that it saves a lot of transportation costs. For instance, my most recent shipment, I took in 8 million cubic meters of decompressed minerals. That if I had brought those minerals without using compressed ore, it would have been 24 jump freighters or something like that. And the jumps are 50 to 80 million ISK each. So I'd be spending $1 billion for getting the stuff out into catch. In the compressed mode, that was more like 2 jump freighters. So that helps a lot. The only issue you get there is if you use third-party services like Brave Freight, also the value of the minerals becomes an issue because you can't ship more than 3 billion in one jump freighter. So you're shipping half-empty jump freighters because of the value. So that's sort of one aspect. So maybe you can't get down to 2 jump freighters. I'll return to a little bit to that later. Another reason why compressed ore is good to use is that you can decompress at better rates in NullSec than you can at stations in Empire. A fully upgraded Amar station in NullSec gets 20% more minerals out of the compressed ore than the best stations in Empire. Now, in LowSec, you can also anchor pulses, which will reduce that difference, but still NullSec has an advantage. Now we don't have the fully upgraded Amar stations in catch, as far as I'm aware of, and certainly not close to the system where I want to build. And then there another reason to use compressed ore is that sometimes it's just cheap. I mean, some of the ores, some of the time, are simply just cheaper than the minerals, even at sort of compression parity. But just remember, to use the compressed ore, you should really have a character that can decompress it perfectly or reprocess it perfectly. Which means that character should have, and I'll take a little break to post the links here. Yeah, so you need reprocessing 5, which is a skill. You need reprocessing efficiency 5, and then you need 5 of each of the ore skills. So you need Veldspar processing 5, Scordite processing 5, and you know whatever other ore you want to use processing 5. So, and that's a quite long train along the line, along the path. You also have to train metallurgy 5. So it is a longish train for those things. I have a character more or less dedicated to this who's still training, you know, like hemorphite processing 5 and stuff like that. And you also need the plus 4% reprocessing implant, which I forgot to bring a link for. Maybe someone can post a link for me. So then, if you decide to use the compressed ore, and you decide to, and you have the character with all those skills, then you get another challenge, which is basically you need the right mix. You know, you need, you know, the 326 million tritanium. You know, you need 90 million pyrite and stuff like that. But how do you mix? What's the optimal way of mixing the ores to get the right mix? Regarding the question in the Fleet chat, yes. Reprocessing efficiency requires reprocessing. No, sorry, it requires reprocessing 4 now. They reduced it. In Cryos, yeah. So to get the perfect mix is quite hard of the compressed ores. So you can take a simplified approach, which is basically you start with scordite, and you buy enough scordite to cover your need for pyrite, making sure you don't get too much feldspar. And once you've done that, you buy enough feldspar or compressed feldspar to fill up on feldspar. And if you've done that, you're getting compressed feldspar, you're getting compressed pyrite. So you've already solved like 96% of the compression equation. So that's a simplified approach. Now, I'm always looking for the perfect approach, and that is actually this is actually a linear programming optimization problem. So I use linear optimization to find exactly what kind of ores to get. I have my grand spreadsheet that I use for everything here that outputs an array that I can then directly copy paste into a linear programming freeware, which is called LIPS, L-I-P-S. That is one way to get it perfect. And then I get a lot of other, you know, I get some, all these different ores come into the mix then. But it's still difficult even if you use linear programming, because as input to that, you have to put in the prices you're going to buy the ore at, and you don't really know which prices you're going to buy at, because when you buy in large volumes, that drives up the prices, and the spreads between bids and sell orders are very large, more than 10% for even the most traded ores. So that's it's still not easy. One additional advantage of using linear programming is you get what's called dual prices, which tells you the real cost of the different minerals, because some of the minerals are very ample in the various ores. Just like with the rail guns before, you would get too much pyrite. Now you get a lot of noxium usually. And so using dual prices, you can actually compute more real costs of your hulls, true costs of the hulls. But you don't need to do linear programming to build caps efficiently. You can just use a simplified approach as well. So that is the ore mix issue. So then I'd like to talk about having your own reprocessing POS. So I have my own POS. It gives me a disadvantage compared to the people that build at 60% fully upgraded MR stations. Sorry, that who reprocess at 60% MR stations, because the base yield is 54% rather than 60. So they basically get like 11% more minerals. However, there are some benefits also to using the POS that isn't captured in that simple comparison. First of all, I don't think you find many 60% stations that have zero tax. My POS has zero tax, so that reduces the gap quite a bit. And then also, you have to consider that once you decompress the minerals, they are huge. They fill up all these freighters or jump freighters. Like, you know, it's only you have 8 million or 20 million cubic meters of minerals. So you have to move them from the place you decompress to your manufacturing system. So if you have the pus in the same system as you manufacture, that makes that transportation much simpler. So that's another advantage of using a pus. So yeah, because otherwise, you know, you're running your ITRON through a jump gate or two 50 times for each hull you're building, and you don't want to do that. So why not manufacturing or reprocessing pus? I don't want to have valuable stuff hanging out in space. Also, the manufacturing station gives me the 3% material efficiency bonus and the 30% time efficiency bonus. So I prefer that. Yes, to have your own pus, you need to have anchoring and starbase technician rights in your corp. So without that, you cannot anchor the pus. So you have to get that somehow. You also need anchoring skill, but only to one. Yeah. So no, I don't think you need to put BPOs in the process anymore, but you still have to have you know, your hull there. Oh yeah, okay, I stand corrected. I've never built in a POS, so I don't know how it's done. I don't want to. So, and then of course you need the POS itself, which is going to be a small control tower. It's going to be an intensive reprocessing array, and then fuel and strontium for the tower. All right, so that's the pause thing. And then finally, just two words about the transportation itself. Within HISEC, Red Frog Freight is cheap and fast. I still have my own freighter, but that's just because when I want something moved, I don't want it to move straight away. But I'm seriously considering just selling it and using Red Frog. Then from HISEC to Null, well, Brave Freight are okay, but to set a contract to Brave Freight, you have to put 7 days for acceptance and 3 days for completion of the contract. And my experience is it usually takes 3 to 5 days. And that would mean for me that I would have billions of ISK stuck in minerals, that in freight contracts, and less predictability about my own production. So I have a jump freighter, and I jump my own ore to my manufacturing system. Also save some money. But the jump freighter, of course, is 6.5 billion ISK, and I haven't afforded insurance for it even, so it's a bit risky. So it's one of the last things you want to add to your setup, I think. Just regarding the pause, I see there's some discussion about it. My experience is you can leave it hanging unpowered in space in Null, and usually it will survive. If not, the whole setup was 100 million, so you just bring out another one. In the long run, I think that's going to be cheaper than having it fueled all the time, and it's going to be less stressful than completely taking it down and then re-anchoring it every time. All right, so about teams, I don't have very much intelligence to say about teams. They came in Cryos, they are new, and what you do is that alone or with others, you bid in auction for the teams, and the teams are supposed to enhance both material efficiency and time efficiency. Of various types of science and production. So, for instance, for my manufacturing system, I always try to bid for teams that give bonuses to component production, and then teams that give bonuses for hull production for capital ships. In practice, my experience is that sometimes teams modify material efficiency and sometimes they don't. And I have no idea why. Just 2 days ago, I had three different teams available because some other people had also apparently bid for teams. And one of them modified the materials used, and the two others didn't. And I don't know why. I have a support ticket up for this, and I'm discussing it with the GMs. I don't know what's happening. So teams are confusing. They're not sufficiently explained. There aren't good tooltips, and but in general, it seems like they may have some effect. TLDR teams suck. I agree to that comment in team chat, but they can stop sucking if they're just explained and work predictably and consistently. I have bid the most I've bid for a team is I think 16 million. I'm sort of just dabbling in the teams, trying to find out how to consistently make them work, because I don't want to bid 100 million for a team and then find out it only makes the production faster and the job installation fee higher. Because that's another aspect of teams. You always, the job installation fee goes up. There's a salary percentage, so the team can be 9% salary or 13% salary, and that percentage is added to the job installation cost. So if the hull, for instance, was previously 20 million to install, and you have a 10% team, then it will be 2 more million to install it. So I only want to do that if I get a material saving, not just time saving, because I'm trying to build the cheapest hulls ever. And about the technique to bid for the teams, there is no sniper mechanism in the auction. So only wait until the last 10 seconds until the auction is finished and then snipe the auction. Never bid the price up early, because that other people are just going to outbid you and you'll have to bid more, I think. All right, that's teams. Then at the end, before turning to questions, I'd like just like to mention a little bit about practicalities of construction, because there's a lot of details to attend to. You want to set up a good system for managing inventory and procurement. If you have five production characters like I have, you have five sets of jobs, which at the then you have five different hangars with stuff. So you have 10 different places where components can reside. Then you have materials and BPCs spread all over. Then you have some ore in Jida that you just bought and some ore that's in transit. It's very, very easy to lose track of what you have and what you don't have. So you really need to manage that. Some people, I think, like to think very much in batches. So they'll calculate what they need for a batch, then they'll buy for that batch, they'll produce what they bought for, and then they will know exactly what profit they make on each ship, hull, etc. My philosophy is more than I always try to guess at what I'll be building next, to look at what kind of mineral composition I would need for that. I buy that, but then I usually produce something else, and I don't know that mineral I bought there went into that hull. It just sort of all mixes. So that's a preference thing. Then you need production management. You need to know what you're building. So you're going to build three Nags, three Chimeras, three Archons. Then you have a rush order for one more Archon. And you need to know that means you need 406 drone bays and 43 whatevers. And then you have to keep track of that you're building them and trying to make sure that one component isn't going to hold up whatever you want to build. So that's the production management aspect. Then you need to track orders and deliveries. People will be ordering, they'll be asking you for quotes. You'll give a quote, then the mineral prices will change. The next quote you're going to give is going to be slightly different, and you have to track whom you sold what to at which price, and then deliver them the stuff when it's done. So that's also a system you need. If you're interested in that, you need some way of tracking profitability. That's not my strong side, I must confess. And then there is an aspect that goes, you know, what if you have excess production? What if, you know, your production setup means you produce a little bit more than what happens in catch? For me, that's meant that I've trained an alt to fly all the hulls. Actually, no, to be correct, she flies all the carriers at present, and now I'm training her to fly the dreads. So I'll be jumping some hulls out to Empire to sell them there when I have excess production. Then finally, it's very nice to add a little something for people who ordered hulls from you. I usually include some spiced wine, some long limb rose, and some special item like a donut holder or some exotic dancers or something like that. Just makes for a nice touch. That was pretty much my monologue. I'll be happy to take your questions. Yeah, so shoot.
Question for you. The implants is when you research ME and PE, do they cut a cost as well as time or just time?
Just time.
All right.
It costs to research ME and PE.
Repeat, please.
It costs ISK to research ME and PE anywhere. You get installation costs.
Yes. And they vary. After Cryos, they vary a lot between systems because there's something called a system index, system cost index for each type of activity. So if no one else is doing your activity in the system, then the... then the system cost index will be really low and will be super cheap to install the job. If many other people are doing the same thing, the system cost index will go up. So the way it works is that there is a basic number for each kind of job, a base cost, which is sort of an approximation of the complete cost of the item you're building. And then the system cost index multiplies with that to give you the installation cost. So a medium system cost index will be around 1%. A JITA kind of system cost index will be maybe 4 to 6%, whereas a really low one will be like 0.1%. Okay, I'm going to take some of the questions in the fleet chat. Okay, so there's one question from Q. To summarize, how many alts do you need to be efficient? That is a difficult question to answer. I definitely want to have a hauler alt to do the jump rating. And that might not be the same character you want to use for high-sec calling if you're going to do that, because you need to have that alt in a core that's part of Brave or one of the other hero alliances, and then it's going to be war decked, so you can't take it to high-sec. So, but say you have one hauler alt, then I think the other alts can have different roles. You can have, after a time, the reprocessing alt can have manufacturing as well and so forth. So I'd say 4 or 5 alts, if they are a little bit versatile, if they can do more than one thing. You need to solve the issue of how to haul the decompressed minerals, because you're going to be hauling them at least from your pus. And that can be, you know, I've done that by having three characters with an Iteron 5 each, and just running them back and forth like mad for an hour. And you can make maybe 15 trips with each in that hour, so that's 45 trips total. But you know, it's a hassle, so you have to figure out how to do that. So yeah, I'd say 4 to 6 alts. Yeah, then how much for an Archon? The answer is 1.2 billion. That's a new and lower price than I used to charge, but I've been able to reduce that now. Which channels are you using to sell your stuff? Well, there's a Brave Capcom, which is a mailing list in Brave. And apart from that, it's just word of mouth. You know, tell people you're building them, give them a good service, have them be your ambassadors. Yeah, but generally just yeah, let people know you're building, and kindly ask them to ask you for a quote. And if you're competitive, then they'll buy from you, and they'll also tell others about it. Next question in the fleet chat is, how do you set up a POS and keep it fueled without the rolls? And the answer is, you don't. You have to have the rolls. You have to have anchoring rolls and starbase technician, fuel technician role. Let's see. How much for a revelation? I don't have that in my head. I have never built a revelation. I think it's going to be around 2.4, 2.5 billion. Next question is, what is the advantage over producing caps in low sec and ship them to catch? Ha, yeah, that's a good one. I think it's mainly the total setup you can do when you have SOV. I don't think I could have such an efficient manufacturing and have my POS in the same system, pay zero taxes, and or actually 0.5% now. They just raised them, but 0.5% is still good, even though you're paying it twice. You're paying it once on the components and once on the hull. Anyway, and nobody kills the POS. I think in low sec the POS would probably be ganked a lot. So, for me, it's never been an option to go anywhere else, because my home is in Hero and in Brave. So maybe it's better to have been low sec. I don't know. Well, certainly also you have to pay for the jump fuel to get them out to catch. So if your main market is catch, then you're jumping a lot of. You're spending a lot for fuels and sinos, but you know that might not be the big killer. Yeah, Mia Mason completed my argument. She also says that the stations have the material efficiency upgrades, which give you 3% better efficiency, and then there's the no jump fuel costs for moving the hulls from low to null. Are there more questions? Okay, is there any interest in 5 minutes on the super caps?
Yes. Yeah, why not?
Okay, there was just one more question in the fleet chat regarding the lead time from start to finish on a carrier. Depends on when you start. I mean, the three runs of the hulls themselves is about 2 weeks. So when you have the components, it takes 2 weeks. I usually have, you know, a lot of components ready so that I can start any kind of hull at any point of time. But if you take it from you, if you were to do one run and you go to GW, purchase the minerals, takes a couple of days, then you use a couple of days for shipping them. Decompression is instant. And then if you have a lot of BPCs lying around, you can be really efficient about, you know, with the my five production characters, I have like 50 production slots. I can probably build all the components in like 4 or 5 days. So in total, that would come to something like 23, 24 days for a bunch of three hulls. Sometimes people contact me and they say, well, I want, you know, the Archon tomorrow. So it's a rush order, and then I don't bundle them. I don't do three in the run, but I just do a one-off, and they pay whatever the cost difference is, which I have in my spreadsheet, which is usually, you know, 20 to 40, 45 million. So, and then it's much faster. So that's the lead time. Okay, so supercaps. Supercaps are... I'm still here. I'm just, I have a push to talk button and it just fucks up my linking thing. I was going to link the supercaps, but basically I will not do that. The supercaps are Nyx, Heal, Wyvern, and Aeon. It's the super carriers.
Interrupt, Heg, I need you. We got 190 man probably fleet bashing the SBU and 7MD, and then they're going to go for the iHub.
What do you need? Go down a channel, go down to classroom 3.
Yeah, so they are the super caps are the super carriers that I mentioned, and then of course also the Titans. Basically, to build the super carriers, you use the same components as for capitals. There are a couple that you don't use for the capitals, but there's just a few. There's like I think there's two. More components that you don't use for the other, but so it's more or less the same component BPOs. You just use like, you know, 20 times the number of components than you use for a carrier, or 15 times. The hull blueprints are very expensive, so for any of us, also for me, if I was going into this, I would start with the hull BPCs. The hull BPCs are around 400 to 700 million in GDA. So, and you'll be consuming one for each hull you build. Then you need to have an iHub, which means you have to have SOV. And the iHub has to have super capital construction facilities. So it's an upgrade to the iHub. So this requires some sort of alliance cooperation. You basically need leadership to approve of your project. Then you need the POS, and that's going to be a large POS. And it's going to have a super capital ship assembly array. It's going to have a capital ship maintenance array. It's going to have a corporation hangar array. And probably you want some defensive measures. You probably also want to have a Sino jammer in system if you can. So once you have these things up, you do this just as building a normal cap. You produce the components. Then you install the BPC in the ship assembly array at the POS, and you add all the components and you start the job. And I think it takes about 4 weeks or thereabouts for the job to complete, and you have the supercarrier. And preferably you should have some sort of plan on what to do with the supercarrier when it's finished. It's probably going to need some fittings and a pilot and a Sino and some maybe even a defensive fleet before you move it to some sort of POS. So That's a short version. I'll link the POS modules. There's going to be silence for a few seconds while I do that. There you go. So that's the theory of the supercap production. So it's not super complex. You do more or less the same as with capital ships. You just need that iHub with the construction facilities, and then you need to you know, this POS that's probably going to cost you between half a billion and a billion ISK, I would guess. And we're going to consume about a quarter of a billion per month in fuel. So that was a... Okay, hold on, here's a question. Yes, exactly. That's sort of the issue. If you're doing this, then people are really going to want to take down your POS and kill the, you know, 20 billion ISK project you have inside. So you want to have your alliance prepped and ready to defend. And also probably there needs to be some sort of agreement on, if it gets ganked, who pays? Is it the guy who is building, or is it the customer, or is it the alliance, or how's that going to work? I am sort of guessing, actually, that unless you really have an alliance project for supercaps, it's probably going to be cheaper to buy one. You know, you go to the sell orders forum, on the Eve forums, you buy one for 24 or 25 billion ISK, and then you sign on it home. So that's, you know, unless the alliance needs a number of supercaps, then probably that's going to be cheaper. It would still be great fun to build a supercap, though. I'd love to do that. That was the allotted time. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for listening in. I hope this was useful to you. And good luck.